First Samuel chapter 17, and in verse 29, all of it's good. The whole chapter is wonderful. This chapter is so filled with truth and present day revelation. As David stood before Goliath, as I've said so often, he did not say it. I believe he shouted it with every fiber of his being. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And as he stood before Goliath, in essence, what was happening, you have two champions on the field here. One's coming down, the other one's coming up. In fact, this is Goliath's last day on earth. He's not going to have to worry about his mortgage payment and his camel payments and whatever. I mean, this is Goliath's last day on earth. The last mistake he made was coming against a servant of the living God and blaspheming the name of God. Little David was just, it was all in a day's work for him. He just kept doing what God told him last. He used the same faith principles that he had used. And here's a champion that is coming up and going up. And we thank God for it. He discovered his cause in one day. You know, sometimes I sit down with Robert Conge, and when Robert Conge gets through telling us what Lighthouse Television has done in Uganda, I mean, I just want to come to this pulpit and scream and say, I don't think any of us see it. I don't think, really, I'm serious. I don't think any of us see it. And only those who have been there can understand what we're talking about, how that God has blessed this church and put into our hands a cause. And I'm talking about the cause today because, you see, finding your cause will keep you on course. Finding your cause will keep you on course. I'm a pastor. I think like a pastor, although I operate as an apostle. Every time I go out, that's a part of the anointing. But God put this into my spirit. Finding your cause will keep you on course. Finding your cause will keep you on course. Now, I know you say, well, that's the simple explanation, but you know, I wonder why so many people have trouble staying on course. And so many people seemingly don't know what to do, where to go, etc., etc. You see, David became committed to a cause that became his life's course. Now, David could have spent the rest of his life confused. Am I a shepherd of sheep? Am I a lion killer? Am I a bear killer? What am I? Who am I? And where do I belong? I know because he has a lot of relatives today, and I talk to them quite often. At least I hear that. I don't know whether I'm a lion killer, a bear killer, a shepherd of sheep. I don't know where I belong. But you see, when you find your cause, it will keep you on course. It will keep you on course. Proverbs said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 said, write the vision, make it plain so that all can see. Acts chapter 26, verse 19, Paul said before Agrippa, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. But nothing significant happens until a vision becomes a passionate cause. And we've already read from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29, where David shouted out, is there not a cause? Ephesians chapter 3, 14, verse 14, I believe it is, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, the great verse that has been working in my spirit now for almost 4 months. From John the 18th chapter, verse 37, when Pilate therefore said unto Jesus, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. And then he said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world. You know, when you know why you were born, and when you know why you came into this world, then you're on a winning course. And I tell you, there's a team around here. And I'll tell you what the name of it is. It's the victory team. It's people that know their cause, and they know what God is doing, and they know God's leading in their life. And they're excited about that. We talked to you about the power of a cause versus the power of a vision. Vision is optional. A vision can be placed on a shelf. A vision can get too expensive or too time consuming or too frustrating. And so if all we have is a vision, we can forget the vision, put it on the shelf, and maybe someday come and pick that vision back up. It's a starting point. It's a blueprint. It's a motivation to move forward. There's so many things we could say about the vision. But something has come to my spirit, and I'm going to stay with it until I get it out of my spirit. And I'm going to stay with it until I get it out of my spirit and into your spirit. Thank God for a vision. Thank God for a vision. We all start with a vision. We all, you know, the prodigal son came home with a vision. But thank God it became a cause. I said it became a cause. Because nothing significant happens in our life until our vision becomes a passionate cause. And as I looked at David's life, I can't get away from it. What changed David's life? He was faithful in slaying the lion. He was faithful in slaying the bear. He was faithful in being a keeper of sheep, a shepherd of the sheep. But oh, there came a moment when the vision became a cause. And in one day, David locked in to the purpose of the rest of his life. You see, a vision can be a moving target or a vapor that vanishes. It can be temporary. It can be hope for the future. Someday, somehow, some way. Maybe. Someday, somehow, maybe. But oh, a cause is total commitment. You know, when you have a cause, you don't have to have rockets flashing. You don't have to have all kind of high energy things happening 24 hours a day. When in your spirit you know that you've discovered a cause, it'll keep you through the slow times. It'll keep you through the difficult times. It'll keep you through the days when it seems like not much is going on. It will keep you through the weeks. You say, well, did I really accomplish anything this week? But praise God, the only way you get there, those of us that have flown together to Israel, the only way you're going to get to Israel is to get airborne and stay on course until you get there. And you'll wonder if that plane's ever going to land, but it will. Or to South Africa, or to Australia, or to Uganda. You've got to get on the plane, stay with the course, and as frustrated as your body can sometimes be when you're traveling those long distances, know that there's a destination. Know that there's a destiny. Know that you're going somewhere. No matter what people say, no matter what circumstances say, no matter, you just stay with it. Praise God, and you just keep going forward. You see, that's why so many people are so frustrated. I mean, I talk to people all over the world and all over North America, and there's a frustration in the body of Christ today. Well, Well, my God, have mercy. We need to find out who we are and where we belong. And where God's called us and how God's called us. And just the pieces never fit until we commit. I tell you what, 38 years, you face some desert times, some long stretches of highway where there's nothing in sight. But you just keep doing what God told you last. Through frustrations, through tornadoes, through whatever. You just keep doing what God told you last. And God will bring you out on the high side of victory. You know, we're in this micro thing. It's got to happen now and it's got to happen quick. But remember, a vision can be a moving target, a vapor that vanishes, temporary, hope for the future, someday, some way, somehow. But a cause is total commitment. I know that I've said yes, and I know that God's cause is and will be manifested in my life. You know, it may mean absolutely nothing to you except just sentiment on my part. But I got something through the mail this week. And, I guess it is sentimental. For whatever that's worth. But I remember as a boy growing up, my dad had a Texaco card. And the majority of our married life, we've had a Texaco card. Still have one. Got it in my possession right here. But I got a letter this last week that said that we'd like to inform you about something. Approximately 13,000 Texaco stations across the United States are in the process of becoming Shell. And this change from Texaco to Shell is taking place as a result of Texaco selling its interest in its U.S. stations to Shell. Please note that your Texaco card will no longer be valid 60 days after the receipt of your new Shell card. Well, they're going to send me another card. And you're ahead of me this morning. I've never received a letter from heaven that said, excuse me. There's a chapter that's no longer going to be valid. There's a promise that will no longer come to pass. There's a covenant promise from God's word. You've had it in your possession, your wallet, and you know, I've had many different colors of Texaco cards. But this one is on the way out. Because 60 days after a certain situation here, it will be, you know, and you say, what difference does it make? Well, really, it makes no eternal difference. And I have other cards. I mean, you know, they didn't cancel the card. They're going to send me another. But I mean, for the majority of my married life, I've had a Texaco card. But all of a sudden, what was valid will be valid no longer. And you can put it in a gas pump, but it's not going to work. Now, there's some of them that it will continue to work, I think. I don't know what all the mechanics. But when I got this, man, something went right up and down my spine. And I said, you know, I remember the Lord said over in Malachi chapter 3, was it verse 6? He said, I am the Lord and I change not. I am the Lord and I change not. I mean, you don't put that scripture in the gas pump of heaven and it says no longer valid. Come on, church. Salvation hasn't changed. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's ability, the Holy Spirit of God, to fill us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We had, what, 7 Sunday night a week ago? 6 it was. We had 7 came forward, and maybe the 7th, I don't know. And then we've had, I don't know, 3 or 4 this week, maybe more than that. But, you know, just in the last few, let's say 2 weeks, we have seen a number of people receive heaven's language and go home happy about it. And when they put their card of, this promise is unto you and unto your children and all of those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord your God shall call. And Jesus said, I command you not to leave Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem without the card. Don't leave Jerusalem without the infilling. That when you put that card in heaven's gas pump or oil pump, oh, thank God you didn't get a reading. No longer valid. When the sinner calls upon the name of the Lord, you don't get that reading on the pump. There's a problem. See the officer inside. Go find it. This thing's no longer valid. Thank God salvation is still valid. Thank God healing is still valid. Thank God the baptism of the Holy Spirit is still valid. And thank God our God is able to deliver. Our God is able to deliver. Oh, when you find your cause, it will keep you on course. See, God hasn't had to rewrite the Bible. God has not had to come back and say, you know, we made a big mistake here. We bit off more than we could chew. God knew who you were before He saved you. And He knows who you've been since you've been saved. And God knows what He desires to do in your life. And God's not finished with us yet. But you got to cooperate with the Lord. Just got to keep on cooperating with the Lord. And I just thought about it. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. Now, I mean, this is not going to alter my lifestyle at all. But, you know, it's just interesting. Something that was in my family with my parents. I mean, they had their own account, of course. And now we've had all colors of cards through the years. And yet, before long, this card's going to be nothing. It's going to be nothing. It's going to be nothing. But, oh, I hold in my hand something that is everything. And it's the Word of God. And when your heart is broken, this word will heal your broken heart. And when you don't know what to do, this book will give you wisdom and show you what to do and where to go. And when it seems like you've done everything you know how to do, even everything the church said to do and everything the preacher said to do, God's not finished yet. God's a mighty God. God's a mighty God. He's bigger than your craziness. He's bigger than your sin. He's bigger than your quirks. He's bigger than anything that has ever happened in your life. What sin does the blood not cover? And what sin is the blood not able to deliver you from? Again and again and again. As our evangelist has said, the laying on of hands is only one step. But let me tell you, the step that will stay with you is to know who you are. Oh, I tell you what, you need to be such good friends with your Bible, you're not afraid to sleep with your Bible. You're not afraid to sleep with your Bible under your bed, at your nightstand, ready, no matter when the enemy tries to come in like a flood. Oh, thank God you can open that word and the Spirit will lift up a standard against him. Now when God sets you free, and then you're confronted and God heals you, and then you have a pain and God sets you free, and God set some people free last night, but there's something you've got to do about that. There's something you've got to do about that. You can't find the man of God at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. I hope you can't sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, there's a book that will work for you 24/7. There's a book that will work in your mind 24/7. There are promises of God that will stay with you when right seems wrong and wrong seems right and you seem like you're upside down and you don't know which way to go. You can just put your hand on this word and say, devil, I may not understand the circumstances and I may not understand me and I may not understand what some people may be saying, but oh, I believe with all of my heart. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge you, Lord. You direct my paths. Jesus was both a teacher and a preacher. I get amused at some folks. Well, their match only strikes on a preaching box, and some folks, their match only strikes on a teaching box. Jesus was both a teacher and a preacher. And it's hard to preach under the anointing without teaching, and it's hard to teach under the anointing without doing a little preaching. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God's card is not going to be invalid. For Hebrews 13:8 said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, you know, not only does God not change, but you know, the Corinthian letter tells us we're in the process of changing. 2 Corinthians 4:18, we're in the process of changing into the glory of the Lord. That's why you need to keep coming back to church. You say, well, I've been out of church for a while. I'm getting kind of mean. I understand that. You've been hanging out with the wrong thing. And I don't want to be unkind, but someone was prayed for last night. I said, I went off from church and turned the television on, and they got back in bondage. My God, have mercy. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. You can't even watch regular television without all the bells and whistles of the evil one. Without hearing things you don't need to hear and seeing things you don't need to see and stirring up emotions you don't need to be stirred up. And I watched a precious mother. I don't know where she goes to church. Children very neat and clean and precious and all that. But I wanted to shout out with all the other things that they need to do. Turn the television off for those young people. Don't let those little children grow up seeing hell every day and then wonder where we went wrong. I'm telling you, we're going to have to get back being some fanatics, folks. We're going to have to come back to some fanaticism. I tell you, you're a better man than I am if television can feed your spirit. I'm talking about run-of-the-mill. Thank God for Christian television. I'm talking about, but most people don't, some people don't watch Christian television, so we'll just clip that limb while we're at it. But thank God, God's changing us. I said God's changing us. And if any person be in Christ, he's a new creation. Inside of me, my spirit is brand new. But I've still got head problems and I've still got body problems. My body wants to sleep too much or not sleep enough. My body wants to eat too much or not eat enough. Now we've got this epidemic among so many young people that don't eat. And the problems that come from that. You see, Satan's the god of the extreme. Balance, radical balance is where the church needs to be today. But you see, we're becoming everything that Jesus died for us to become. And one day my Bible tells me in the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it's 51, that one day we're going to be out of here. We're all going to be changed. Someone said there was a sign in a nursery a number of years ago, church nursery, said they shall not all sleep, but they shall all be changed. Well, be that as it may, one of these days there's going to be a sounding of the trumpet of God. And we'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And whatever your philosophy is about the rapture, it's called out of here. I have my first class tickets on that one. Praise God. I might ride in the back of the bus on that one. Praise God. I'm out of here. So what are we talking about? We're talking about change. You know, you get a letter that said, what you've counted on for years, it's not going to be, you know where I'm coming from on that. I mean, that's not going to send me into depression. It's just a little nostalgia. But, oh, it just made me say thank God every time I open my Bible. I got so sick and tired when I was in Bible school. Every time I'd find a promise, some professor said, well, that was for the Jews. I said, what's with the Gentiles, man? What's the advantage of being a Gentile? I mean, it seemed like every time I'd find something good, they'd say it was for somebody else. And then I had to go back to Sunday school and remember what we sang as a little child growing up. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Let's get back to basics. Let's get back to basics. Praise God, your Bible's the best friend you have. You know, I just think of causes. And you say, well, are you just talking about a church? No, there's the cause of your marriage. You said, I do. You made a commitment. There's the cause of being a good husband and being a good wife. There's the cause of being a good parent. There's the cause of being a good employee wherever you work, or being a good employer to do the best you know how to do. But you know, one of the great things that I see in the hour in which we live, there's such a need of people knowing where they belong and being committed to where they belong. It's interesting. There must have been four people the last 2 weeks coming from so many different facets of life that told us. In fact, there's a pastor, I won't even call his name, but a pastor that's pastoring a good, strong, growing Baptist church. And he said, I heard your radio broadcast when I was in Tarrant County Jail years ago. And he said, God changed my life. And he said, I've listened to you through the years. And he said, I couldn't tell you what a blessing the radio broadcast has been. And then we received letters, all kind of good letters. That's what keeps you going as a pastor. That's not all that keeps you going, but encourage you. He said, I just want to tell you what God is doing in our lives since the beginning of the Sunday night services. And the first Sunday night you preached John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Then all the things, God's brought freedom, and God's brought healing, and God's worked miracles in their lives. Folks, you know, that's what it is. We found a cause. And in 38 years, I'll be honest with you, you know, there's times you get weary. Yeah, there's times you get very weary. And sometimes you have a lot of pulls. You have a lot of things that you're dealing with. And especially in all this transition period. My Lord, it's like five different ministries going on at one time sometimes, it seems. But you know, as we come back to it, it's the cause that keeps you going. When you find your cause, it will keep you on course. I've never had a doubt in my mind but that God's called me to pastor. And if God ever changes that, He'll be kind to let me know. But through the good times, the bad times, reporters asked me, don't you feel like quitting after the tornado? I said, well, you know, we've got some things to work out. No, I don't feel like quitting. I'm not going to, you know. I read one day that if I faint the day of adversity, my strength is small. Made me mad. I'm not going to quit. What am I, some kind of a chicken preacher? I mean, am I some kind of a wimp? When the pressure's on, you run out the back door? Come on. And you the same way. You've held steady. Glory to God. The cause. When you find the cause, it will keep you on course. When you find the cause of knowing where God's called you, knowing where God's placed you, knowing where God's planted you. You say, but I don't understand it. There's a lot of things I don't understand either. I'd have to get in line with you on that one. But I know one thing. I'm committed to the cause. I'm committed to the cause, and it keeps me on course. It keeps me on course. One of the causes that I committed to a number of years ago, just talking to you from pastor's heart, when we could have lost that downtown property because we couldn't find anyone to refinance the note that we inherited in coming into that tremendous piece of property. And I remember one day driving down the highway, weeping before God. And I said, God, when you bring us out, and it was totally impossible at that time. It was totally impossible. I said, in fact, we'd received a 30-day eviction notice. And I was just driving, weeping, and crying out to God. Don't even know how I was driving as I think back on that occasion. But I said, God, when you bring us through this thing, and God brought us through with flying colors. I said, God brought us through. But I said, God, when you bring us through, when I know it's God, I will help ministers and I will help churches, because it's been hard for me to find someone to help me. I couldn't find anybody. Some of the greatest ministries of our land, they could not identify with where I was, except just say, believe God, brother, and thank God. That's good. Hang in there with that. But I said, oh, if I can ever make a difference by God's grace, I'll make a difference by the help of God. And you know, that promise to God has sent me around the world. That promise to God sometimes takes me out of here on a Sunday or so. And recently we were out of state and we saw a church that the devil tried to steal. I mean, the devil had that thing lock, stock, and barrel because of a pastor who wasn't a pastor. He was a hireling. And he's going to sell that church and just close the doors and put a chain on the door. But oh, thank God, we got a hold of the right people. And they said, can you help us? And I said, well, by God's grace, we'll help. Well, thank God today that church is open and running red hot. And God is working a miracle. And the devil couldn't do what he thought he was going to do. We were in Missouri last week, and I don't have time to go into all of that. But a church came to one of our ministries here and wanted to merge with them. I tell you, that'd be one of the greatest blessings. There are so many little things that they can't pay the bills. They can't do this. They can't do that. They can't do it. It'd be a blessing to see some mergers going on. And they are happening in different places across the land. Church doesn't need to be open just to give somebody a meal ticket or give somebody a salary. It needs to be a valid New Testament church that can do something. We all have to start small, but somewhere that thing's got to turn around. And we've seen God do that. Well, we were instrumental in standing in the place of an apostle to be part of that transition. And so last Sunday morning, we were able to be there, preach 5 services over the weekend while we were there. And we're able to be a part, not all of it, God's the heavy, but to be a part of that. So this morning, they're worshiping a piece of property about 5 times as big as what they had, about 100 times better than what they had. And there's a victory going on instead of defeat. I said, there's a victory going on instead of defeat. I'll tell you, when I'm anointed, I'm dangerous. I guess that's why Satan gets so frustrated about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But you know, the thing that's in my spirit today, when you find your cause, it will keep you on course. When you find your cause, it will keep you on course. You talk about a culture shock. You come from ministering to thousands of people in a red hot meeting and as much of the Holy Ghost as you can handle and stand. And then you come home and you're Pastor Bob again. But that's part of the mix. You've got to understand that. Some people can't handle that. You see, God can put you out there and let you fly like an eagle if you know you still have to come roost on the limb of the Word of God in dependence on the Holy Spirit. It's easy to get out there and think it's you. It's not us, it's Him. People are coming to Jesus every week. People are being born again. People are being filled with the Spirit. Missions work is going forward. I'm telling you, God is working in a super, super natural way. And you're part of the cause. Oh, we reverently say, well, it's Bob Nichols Church or it's Pastor So-and-so. We do that as a point of identity. You know, so I can't even remember half the names of churches. There's so many different names nowadays. But I remember who's pastor and who God said it, who the candlestick is there. But you know, in spite of it all, it's not that. It's the Lord. It's not us. It's not you. I can't do it without you, and you can't. Obviously, you can't do it without. We need each other. I said we need each other. Together, we can do what we could not do apart. Together, partners catch more fish. Together, we can see those bondages broken. We can see those chains snapped. We can see we're doing more for missions. We are doing more for missions today than ever before because we're doing it together. Makes a difference where you go to church. Makes a difference where you go. Man, I want to be on the victory team. God's raising up a victory team around here. Not a defeated team. Not a Not an emotional team, not a defeated team. God's raising up a victory team. When I looked at this verse, oh, it's burning in me like a fire today. Little David could have spent the rest of his life. Well, am I a bear killer? Am I a lion killer? Am I a shepherd? What am I? But oh, thank God when David heard Goliath say, I defy the armies of the living God. Every bone in his body rose up to the occasion. He said, we're not going to put up with that. There is a cause. And I tell you, no matter what's going on in your life today, God's bigger than your problems. God's bigger than all the phobias, and God's bigger than all the craziness. I mean, we're facing a lot of things. Always have. It's always been there, but I think it's more pronounced today because of movies and videos and television. There is a sewer flowing through this nation as never before. And that's why the only answer to that sewer is to saturate your mind with the Word of God. Saturate your spirit with the Word of God. Fill your heart with the Word of God. Let God set you free and then hold on to what sets you free. One verse of Scripture can see you through the night. One verse of Scripture can see you through the week. One verse of Scripture can see you through the month. One verse. For the Lord God will help me. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not fear. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Nay, in all of these things, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. God is for me. Who can be against me? I'm on the victory team. I'm on the winning team. I have on that helmet of salvation. I have the breastplate of righteousness. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. My loins are girt about with truth. Don't give me flaky rumors and all of that stuff. Oh, my loins are girt about with truth, not rumors. Truth, not rumors. Oh, my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I tell you, there's not a week I live. In fact, this week I stepped on some carpet, whatever holds carpet there. And that's a whole other story why it was that way. But anyway, I stepped on that thing. And all of a sudden I realized I need my feet. You don't think your hand's important? Just put a hammer on your thumb. You'll find out how important it is. You don't think your face is important? Let somebody slap you. Let somebody step on your toe. Every part of our body is important. You're important. There is no such thing as anyone in this room who is not important. The people that keep the nursery are important. The people that minister to our children are important. The people that maintain this building. People were working until the early morning hours so this building would be presentable today. And every time I see that, because see, I've done that myself many years ago, I just say, thank God we can do it together. It takes a body to do it, but we can do it together. Everyone's important. I call church after church. You can't get anybody to answer the phone. And I'm telling you, if I get one more answering deal, I feel like firing a 12-gauge shotgun somewhere. And I don't even have a 12-gauge shotgun. Because I punched the wrong numbers and I got to start off. About the fourth time I've started all over again. I said, as long as this preacher has breath and as long as I'm pastor of this church, somebody going to be answering the phone around here. Unless there's a good reason. There's a cause. I get frustrated when I can't talk to somebody. There is a cause. Hold your Bible up. Say, thank God for the Word of God. I am what the Word of God says I am. I receive the Word above every word of man, above every circumstance. I will do what the Word of God says to do. I'll believe this Word for all my family. I'll believe this Word for my family. I'll stand on this word until I see household salvation. Until I see the captive set free. Until I see all of my family set free. Because this word is my word of victory. Folks, it makes a difference what you believe. It makes a difference what you say. It makes a difference what you believe. It makes a difference what you say. See, I know just as well as when I preach like this, I'm going to have to turn right around and I'll practice it before the day is over. I'll practice it before Monday is over. I'll have to stand on everything I've preached You think we just get up here and have fun preaching? Yeah, that's good. But you see, I know the other side of the coin. I drink from the same fountain you drink from. Bob Nichols is no more big deal than you are. We both win by the Word of God. We both win as we stand on the Word of God. We both win as we drink from the fountain of God. We both win as we stand on God's eternal Word. Thank God that Word will work for you. That Word is working for you. And I just want to go officially on record one more time. You'll never get a letter through the mail like I got this last week and say something you've had for so many years. It's valid no longer. Thank God the Word of God is valid. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, goodbye little card, but hello God. Hello Word of God. Hello promise of God. That's much better than a credit card, much better than a gas card. The Word of God that lives and abides forever.